Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. This comment by Simon in the gospel today, it seems just sort of ordinary sort of thing. Here, Jesus, all these crowds of people have come and they found Jesus off praying, and Simon says this thing that just seems like a very ordinary thing to say. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. And yet, as so often happens in the Gospels, what is said, maybe even things that seem very ordinary, are far more far-reaching than they seem to be. Because everyone is looking for him. Everyone who has ever lived. Everyone who will ever live. Everyone anywhere in the world. Everyone is looking for him, whether they know it or not. And why? Why are they looking for him? Well, I think we need to look at the first reading. The first reading is always picked out to connect to the gospel somehow. We have this beautiful gospel of Jesus, healing Simon's mother-in-law, and then healing other people and doing and driving out demons and going off to pray and people coming to him, seeking, it's this beautiful presentation of Christ, especially as a healer. And our first reading, how on earth is it related to this? Job spoke saying, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." It seems like this is about the farthest thing from that gospel as it could be. This reading, the book of Job, is in the wisdom tradition, the wisdom literature of the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And it's very interesting to read these books. And the book of Job is maybe probably the most significant of them. It's certainly the biggest. It's one of the biggest, longest books in the Bible. And it deals with, some of the most fundamental questions, and deals with it in almost a raw fashion of basically the question of why do bad things happen to good people is, essentially the, and deals with it almost brutally, to tell you the truth. I mean, it doesn't pull any punches whatsoever. And it's typical in that way of this wisdom literature of the Jewish people. The Jewish wisdom tradition was not like Greek philosophy that was kind of abstract and speculative. The Jewish wisdom tradition was very, very concrete and very realistic. And I think most people would say pretty pessimistic, to tell you the truth. This view of things that Job presents is all through the wisdom tradition. Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? In the book of Ecclesiastes, for example, that very, very famous passage, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new. And I think that it's pretty true, actually. The state of our fallen world, where sin and death pretty much have their way with all of us, the Jewish wisdom tradition is a very good description of that world that we live in, up to a point. Because actually something new does enter into this world. And that's what we see, I think, in the gospel, is that Jesus Christ is the answer to this situation of drudgery, of our life coming to an end without hope, not being able to see happiness again. But that is true enough in this world. Last night I was called to go to one of our local nursing homes to accompany a soul who's very close to death. And again, that is the natural course of things. And it actually was a beautiful moment because of the consolation of the sacraments of the church, and also because of the beautiful kindness of this lovely, lovely nurse that was there. Well, actually more than one lovely nurse there, who was really had great, great compassion. But that is Jesus Christ coming into the world, into this, to this dark place. And so we want to seek him always. Everyone is looking for him because he shows us the way out of this world of sin and death. Now, it's not an easy way out, and I'm not going to lie to you. It is a pretty simple way, but it's not easy. This is the way, right there. That's the way. That is the way that Jesus Christ, the sole person ever to break this cycle of sin and death, by his suffering, death, and glorious resurrection, and then ascension into heaven, taking our humanity to be at home in heaven. But that is the way. One of the saints refers to the cross as the ladder by which we climb to heaven. And it's the only way. You know, so this into this world of drudgery, Jesus doesn't come and all of a sudden turn it into Disneyland, you know. But he does say, here is this way. And if you would like to come, this is the way. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And you will find the way. You will find the way that leads to the fullness of life. And that's so important because we can experience that not only at the end, but we can experience it here and now. The place where we encounter eternity in our lives is now, in this moment. This is the intersection of eternity and time. Now, right now. Think about the times that we pray, ask our Blessed Mother to pray for us in the Hail Mary. Every single Hail Mary that you pray, we say, pray for us. When? Now. And at the hour of our death. Now. This moment that touches eternity and the hour of my death when I go into eternity. Pray for me then. And so we live in this moment with Jesus Christ. And if we do, then that drudgery that Job spoke of is changed. It's not that it becomes easy all of a sudden, but we realize it has a purpose. It has a direction. It is leading us somewhere. It is the straight, direct road to the fullness of life. Not only at the end, but now. We participate in that now. You know, unfortunately, in the world we live in, it's one of the reasons why I think this time of pandemic has been, although a struggle and a challenge at times, maybe also a great blessing, because it's made a lot of us, you know, we've had to focus on these things more, because a lot of the things we used to do that distracted us from these realities, they're not, you know, we can't go off and all these distractions we used to have. You know, we can't go running around all the time. You know, that's what we tend to do. We distract ourselves from those realities that human life is a drudgery. You know, like we turn up the volume a lot, we get busier and busier, we do all these kind of things, but they're just a distraction. And when those are taken away from us to some extent, then we face the reality again, and we have the opportunity to come to the true source of life, which is this Jesus Christ whom we see in the gospel, whom everyone is looking for. And it's so obvious in the gospel why they're looking for him. Because he is the Lord of life. He is the Lord of healing. He is the Lord of everything. You know, and so in the moments when you find yourself like Job, and we all do, finding life a drudgery, put the face of Jesus Christ before you. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. Look for him. Seek his face. And in that face, You see the way to life and the fullness of life for eternity, but also right now. We participate in that. Every moment that we follow His way, which is to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Him. Because being with Him, that's what heaven is. Heaven's not a place. Heaven's a person. And so when we are with Him, then we have this, whatever it is we're facing in life, we experience His life. And so in this Mass, in just a moment, on this altar, Jesus Christ will be here. Body and blood, soul and divinity. Say to Him, I firmly believe You are here, that You see me, that You hear me. At the end of that prayer in which He comes down, we say, through Him, with Him, in Him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is Yours forever and ever. Everyone is looking for You, Lord. Everyone is looking for You.